This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
You know, when you have actors who are on television, they just do their job. But then every now and then you encounter people who go over and above even the X factor that makes a person lovable, watchable, and a joy to behold in their characters that they bring through. So today in Who's for Lunch on Power Lunch on Power 98.7, we welcome Savage Beauty Season 2 lead actresses Ntati Moshesh and Lebogang Fischer.
Who's for Lunch?
Now, this is a very popular Netflix series, Savage Beauty. It makes its return on June the 28th, so tomorrow you know what to do, promising an even more emotionally stretching set of episodes. Of course, you know we have the Bengu family, a prominent family who's at war with a mystery woman who threatens to expose the family's secrets. And that's not all. The mystery woman entrenches herself in the family in season one, only for the first bout of the series to end with a cliffhanger, one of those dun-dun-dun moments. And so tomorrow we'll all tune in to Netflix to find out exactly how it goes. In studio with me, I'm joined by the ever so lovely Ntati Moshesh. Hello.
Hello, Bubby. Hello, Bubby. Thank you. Thank you so much. What an introduction.
Well, I mean, what a lady. What a performer. What a guy.
Thank you, Bubby. Really, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you here.
One more sleep for me.
Yes. And so I wonder, as a performer, do you get excited, especially with something that is like this on Netflix that's going to be released, right, on that specific release date? Is it anxiety the night before? Is it excitement?
I'm calling it nervously excited.
Yes. Yeah.
And the anticipation is killing me because I'll be watching with the rest of the world, 190 countries.
Extraordinary.
At 10 a.m. South African time tomorrow, I will be in my house, in my lounge, and binge watching on my own.
And what's the experience of watching yourself like?
I never get used to it. That's why I'm saying I'm going to get rid of everybody in my house and I'm going to watch alone so I can criticize myself, I can celebrate myself, and I can just enjoy the storytelling, the powerful storytelling that is season two. Season two is going to blow people away. It blew us away just reading the scripts.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's beautiful. Lebogang Fischer is on the line with us, and it's wonderful to have you along the ride for this conversation. Lebogang, hello.
Hello, Bobby. Hi. And hello, Osintachi. Hi.
Hello, my love. Hello, Lebogang.
So, I mean, a similar line of questioning to you around, you know, is this a night of nerves for you or is it exciting? And then how do you plan to watch as the series gets released on Netflix tomorrow?
Well, I mean, it's such an amazing show and I feel so honored and having, you know, we filmed this a year ago. So actually for me, I'm kind of like, what did we film again? So I'm really excited to kind of get into it and curious, actually. I'm really curious to see how everything has come together because, like Osintachi said, it's such an amazing second season. And what we build on in season two from season one is so incredible. And so I actually have the curiosity now of a viewer, of an audience member, not so much of an actor, because it's also been, I've had so much time away from it now. So I'm ready to embrace whatever I see tomorrow with everyone, with the world.
It's very interesting because, you know, I always wonder, you get the script, you know what you did in the scene, you have an understanding of what that felt like. And then is there a possibility that it gets edited or cut up in a different way? So where is all the surprise coming from when you've seen it and you've acted in the role, Lebogang?
Yeah, completely. It's sort of what you mentioned there. There's, you know what you bring to the table as an actor, but you don't know necessarily how the lighting is going to look like, what music they're going to lay under, you know, how exactly they're going to cut the scene or together with this moment that you've read on the page, but you're only present for what you film, right? You don't necessarily see what the other actors, because we filmed over close to 3 months, you're not in necessarily every day. So you don't necessarily know what's happening or how they're doing this other scene. Is it going to be on a crane? Is it not going to? All these technicalities that when you actually see it with an audience, you really are seeing it for the first time, because even though you've read what's on the page, you don't know yet what the director's vision is and the editor's vision is and you know, how Netflix also wants that to look. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a mixture of all those different creative voices coming together to make that product that is the surprise.
So the nervous excitement makes a lot of sense, because you're going to see this product, this labor of love, mm-hmm. And it's across the screens. Okay, so let's get into the nitty gritty about whomst you both are in this Netflix series. So I'll start with you, Ntati. Grace Bengu. Oof, what a character. What first attracted you to the role of Grace Bengu in Savage Beauty? How does it differ maybe from roles you've played before?
Grace Bengu is Ntati on steroids.
Okay.
It's the woman Ntati wishes she could be. She's got the chutzpah that I wish I had.
Yeah.
She is a warrior. I call her a warrior. She's a woman who will do anything to protect her empire. An empire that she has built through her sweat, blood, and tears over the years. She has a husband who is a philanderer of note. Mm. The women get younger and younger as she gets older and older. So Savage Beauty Season 2 tackles all those issues. Ageism.
Yeah.
I mean, do we ever talk enough about what happens to a woman when she's almost discarded because she's older and he is looking at young, fresh blood? So Grace has to deal with all those issues of this man who overlooks her, and yet she still loves him. And sometimes, and Dumsani Mbebe, who plays Don Bengu, him and I often used to have these discussions. Do they really love each other? Or is it that they've gotten so used to each other, they know each other's strengths and weaknesses so well, that they have, it's almost like they've reached an impasse. It's, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Stuck with you, and that's the kind of word. It's they stuck with each other, so it explores marriage and external factors within a marriage construct, and how they deal with that. At the same time, there's an empire that's crumbling. At the same time, there are two boys that they have to parent, and they're not the best of parents in my eyes, and yet they will do whatever it takes to, I suppose, to win the battle, which is the world and the elements
and the empire,
everything else.
This preservation of dignity and perception, that's really a strong through line.
Yes, yeah. And for Grace, everything's all about appearances.
Yeah.
What is the image we're portraying to the rest of the world? Our reputation's at stake, because now we're at war with each other. Mm. So what does that mean? So I love Grace. I really love Grace. I think she stretched me in a way that I've never been stretched before as a performer. And I look forward to playing more Graces of the world.
I love it. Tell us about your character, Lebogang. How does she fit into the storyline?
Yeah, I don't know how you expect me to go after that eloquent response from Osuntati. It was so brilliant. I was loving that. I felt every bit of that. So I play Charlie in season 2 of Savage Beauty, and she's a new kid on the block. She ingratiates herself into the Bengu family, you know, through her relationship with Pila Bengu, who is the sort of heir apparent to the family empire. And what I think is really beautiful about this show is thematically is to deal with the family is to deal with the business and vice versa, because you know, the structure of the business is a family business. And so my character comes in, and similarly to Pila, is in this phase or stage of grieving. She really understands him. And they make this connection, which is just really, really beautiful. And working with Jesse Sindela was absolutely amazing. But they really understand each other. And I suppose it's up to the audiences to decide whether that's for better or for worse, their relationship. But she's a really firecracker of a character. She's really charming. She's really clever. And kind of like you said, Bubby, so much of the show is also about perception. And Charlie is very aware of that, how she is perceived within society. And she's a really fascinating character because of the way that she owns that and the way that she uses that. And I think people will be really, will probably either love it or really hate it. So I'm excited as well to see how people respond.
Which I imagine as a performer, you're looking to elicit a response. So if they love it, great. But if they hate it, also great.
Also great, exactly. Because, you know, it's sort of, it's one of those things, I think, all great TV characters, really memorable ones, they're either like the sweethearts or they're like the Cherelle de Villiers. You know, we're like,
yes.
Oh my gosh, what the hell is this person doing? Like on her, after her wedding? You know, that kind of, that kind of moment where we sort of sit there and we love to hate them or we hate to love them.
I think it's so fascinating the variety of educational background and experience that you both have, right? So you've worked on stage, you've worked in film, and you've worked on television. And so I wonder, working on a Netflix series, which is almost the next frontier, right? We've had normal television, and now we have the streamers that have come through. What has this experience been like in comparison to other performance experiences, Ntati?
The big bonus is the healthy budgets.
Right.
Healthy budgets equals an amazing environment where creatives are not rushed. You are given time. So the sound guy is given enough time to perfect his sound. The lighting guy is given enough time to show his creativity, because I think when productions are rushed, you see the end results. With Savage Beauty, especially second season, is the production values on steroids, really. I don't know why I'm loving this word steroids right now. Everything's on steroids for me. But it really is. So where you see these crane shots, it's you seeing the vista of the Savage World beauty. And only with a healthy budget can you do that. The wardrobe... no one is skimping on the wardrobe.
Sure.
Lehasa can really take time with each character. Lehasa Mloy, that is, who was our stylist, and
amazing.
He was HOD of wardrobe.
Right.
What a splendid job he did. And it really is. It's time. So healthy budgets give you time to really explore your creativity. So you'd come to me with an outfit. Do you like it? Yes. No. Maybe. Netflix sees the outfit. Yes.
They have to approve.
And Netflix then approves.
Yeah.
That's a luxury we don't normally have with the kind of budgets that we have in this country. So funding. Only funding and good funding can give us healthy budgets, right?
Are you tired of having this conversation?
No.
In the negative.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because I think it's always, and Netflix then pushes local productions to also look at, can we better our productions?
Oh, good.
Can we please better our productions? There's an element of mediocrity that's creeping in that I'm not really liking. So with some local productions, I'm still working at rates that I worked for 10 years ago. So then, yes, they're not competing with Netflix, but can we also then strive for excellence, even with the kind of budgets that we have? Because it is about attitude. If we change our attitudes, if we change our working environments, if there is respect for the craft, if there's respect for each other, if there's respect for the work that needs to happen, can actors stop being late? Can actors stop being on their phones when they're on sets? For me, it's the little details that really make up the bigger picture.
I want to know more about this. So you can also add in, what is actors' set etiquette. That is professional. That is the right thing to do. What do you mean, why are actors on their phones? Are they not supposed to be on their phones on set, don't you?
No, they shouldn't be on their phones because then they're not present. So, you know, you have instances where you say, can we run our lines so we can discuss our scenes?
Yes.
And the director's waiting to discuss the scene and actors are on their phones.
Unprofessional.
For me, in my eyes, it's very unprofessional.
Yeah. Yeah. Lebohang, other etiquette?
Yeah, I think I'm quite a timely person. So I often find that, and especially with a production like this, any production, time is money. And if you're late, you are setting everybody back like thousands, hundreds of thousands of rands, every minute, every hour, every day. And you have people who just, you know, don't even show up, which is kind of unbelievable, or like will come to base and some, they don't like the thing that they're wearing and sort of not leave their trailer. And I find that very, it's disrespectful, you know, and because there are multiple people working on something and it's not just you. I think there's so much ego, actually, as artists, we all have a little bit of ego. I'll also raise my hand there. But hopefully that where we come from is like Osun Tasi's saying, that it comes from a place of excellence and not just necessarily personal image or perception, like I want this kind of treatment or that kind of treatment. Obviously there should be a good standard, but there should also be a recognition that you're not the only person working here. And I think that sometimes in the industry, particularly in South Africa, we are quite a small industry and we are expanding, which is, you know, it's amazing. It's why I'm able to do this job. But because we're so small, we have these specific people, these specific names, who are sort of at the top of the ladder, but their attitude is, I would say, kind of is abhorrent. You know, it's not conducive to an environment that is actually creative and collaborative. There's not a collaborative spirit.
And that can be devastating.
It's a hard one because
collaboration, particularly in what you're doing, is everything.
Yeah.
Without sound, visual can't work. Without the words on the page, there's nothing for you to say. So I find that always to be very interesting about the loss of reality that ego then gives you, that it's only me.
Yes.
Like, where did you lose yourself in reality?
Yeah.
And that can be tough. But there were absolutely no people like that on Savage Beauty, correct?
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Everybody was so professional. Everybody was always on time. And we had the ideal.
Just perfect.
Hey, Lebohang. Lebohang agrees with me.
I agree with you. Look, you know, Osun Tasi and I, we get along like a house on fire. And I think it's a work environment. Any work environment, you'll have people that you get along with really, really well. And some people that it's a bit of like an oil and water situation. It's not anything specific. It's just the way that you are. But for the most part, I think we all came on board this season just saying, this is amazing. We're taking the level from, you know, from 5 to 50. So let's just try and push that.
Well, I mean, I was very much being tongue-in-cheek, guys. very, very much so. But we're very excited to watch Savage Beauty Season 2 with lead actresses Ntati Moshesh and Lebohang Fischer, who are in studio for Who's for Lunch on Power Lunch this afternoon. We get into more of our conversation straight after your 2:30 Power Headlines. I'd love to hear from you as well on 0861-987-000. You can also send us a post on X by using the hashtag PowerLunch. It's 2:30.
Who's for Lunch?
I know that there was a screening and you got to show, was it just the first episode?
Yes.
And what was the energy in the room, Tati? What happened when people watched?
Oh, the beauty about South African audience is that they can never be quiet.
Oh, we're vocal.
Oh, they're very vocal. So it's you. And mind you, and finding comedy where maybe when we were reading the script, we thought, okay, that's not a funny scene. But nice. Now that's a beauty about the audience, isn't it? Is that they will find humor, especially South Africans. We're very great at finding humor in the darkest of moments. And it was palpable, the excitement and also having your friends watch you up on screen. I wish my son was around, but anyway, Sabelo Moshesh, this is for you. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to you. But it was, I think the support, you feel the support.
Yeah.
For me, it was almost like being on stage, which is my other love.
It's incredible. Of course.
It felt like we were on stage and the audience is live. So we're performing to a live audience, and that's exactly how it felt.
You know, you've just explained it so perfectly well, because if you're performing on television, you actually aren't with your audience when they experience your performance.
No.
There is social media, though.
Yes, there is social media.
Do you look at that?
I do. I have become friends with social media.
Okay.
It went from intimidating me,
yes,
not understanding it at all,
yes,
to now I've become friends with social media because I realize it can be your biggest ally.
Okay. Yes. How so?
I'm reaching people. It's one way of me reaching the people who've always supported my career and who certainly support Savage Beauty.
Mm.
And I can interact with them. I know how they're feeling. Mm. I can feel the excitement. I can feel the anticipation for tomorrow, and I'm engaging with them.
Stunning.
Yes.
Stunning. It's a tool.
It is a tool. It's a very powerful tool.
Mm. Lebogang, as a newcomer on the series, you're walking into a space where relationships have already been formed, and your character's new, but then you also are. Talk to me about preparing for your role and integrating into the already established cast.
Yeah, that's a really good walk down memory lane, actually, really positive. So when I arrived, I think it's also important, just for the time frame, when I arrived in South Africa from London, it was 2 weeks before we started filming season two. So I was literally the last cast member to be in the country for filming. And so I didn't really have a lot of time to prepare, but I think that was also a blessing because it stopped me from overthinking, you know, and sometimes when you overthink too much and you have that doubt in your head, I think not just as an artist, as any person, it can really stop you from reaching your potential. And so I kept saying to myself this quote that I love and I live by, and it's from Measure for Measure, and it says, "Our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt." And so I think it was so brilliant to have that in my mind, to say, okay, that doubt that you're feeling because I am new, because I've not worked with anyone before, it's betraying you. It's stopping you from reaching the potential for good because now you're afraid to just go all in. And having that in my mind and coming to day one when we had the table read with Osuntati, Dumisani, Tony Joroge, Jesse, like the whole gang. I just had that going in my mind over and over and over again. And I remember at lunchtime, I was sitting down in the one end of the table, and Osuntati was sitting with Dumisani and Tony, because they've worked together before. And Osuntati looked at me and she said, "Lebogang, come here. Come sit with us." And so she welcomed me to the end of the table with the legends. And I remember we were just speaking and they were talking to me about this process and also just talking to me, you know, to be honest, that was only 5 minutes of the conversation. The rest of the hour, we were talking about life. We were talking about everything else. And that put me so much at ease. And it's because of that welcoming that Osuntati gave me, and that Tony gave me, that Dumisani gave me, that then also trickled down to the younger members. Because as a young actor, you're also looking up at the older members of the cast to say, okay, what do you think? How is this going? Because they are the ones with the experience. They are the ones with the knowledge and the gravitas and the warmth. And so that being my first day, my first experience, and Osuntati sort of opening that door for me, I just can't thank her enough. You know, it was only uphill from there. Like there was no going back.
That's really beautiful. And Tati, you're having quite a response to what Lebogang is saying.
Lebogang, you know. Lebogang and I think it's always like seeing a younger version of myself. And I think she saw an older version of herself. And we just clicked. We just clicked. And I have gained a younger sister. She's gained a big sister.
Oh.
And I've become friends with her mother. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Her mother, who's here in South Africa.
Yes.
I have become friends with her mother.
Yes.
Because she came up to me and she says, thank you for being her mom on set. And and I remember when the days I started and I had a mom, Togonjinga, being my mother.
Yes.
So it's always paying it forward. And Lebogang's going to be and Tati Moshesh one day to somebody. And that's how it goes, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. It's so important. You know, it's a bit of that collaborative spirit, that community spirit, because, you know, we're all trying to make the best product we can make, but also recognizing that we're human beings in this process. Like, this is all of our first day at school. It's just that, you know, for some people it's like grade 7, but for me it's like this is an entirely new school and I don't know anyone. And it was just that recognition of myself as a person, you know, of how I might be feeling, that made such an impression on me personally that, yeah, I just, even now I'm also getting emotional thinking about it, because it meant that I was able to give freely.
Sure. That's really amazing. And, you know, you have those moments in work spaces where you'll find your person and you'll find a lifelong friend. And it's just so special when the stars align in that way. It really is. I love that quote that you mentioned, Lebo. And I want to expand on, as people who do what you do, who carry other people's stories and have to portray them. And then, of course, you have your own life and you do many other things. What is your mantra or your practice through life? What is, if it's a spiritual practice, if it's, you know, a philosophy, a way of being that keeps you joyous, fresh, and with the ability to be the slate that you need to perform? And Tati, I'll start with you.
I always remember my late father, my role model, my first love. And my father used to say to me, Ngwanaka, the day you never feel the fire burning in your belly. And he says, listen to me, burning. In your belly for what you do, then stop. Because you're not doing yourself a favor. You're not doing your audience a favor. Baby, I carry my father all the time. Every time I'm on set. And when I'm having hard days, because it does... You know, some days when you've got night shoots, 4 o'clock in the morning, you are shivering, you are freezing, you're wearing skimpy clothes.
Yeah.
And then I just channel my father. And then I think, if my father was here, what would he say? He'd say, be grateful that you're working. Be grateful for having an opportunity to be a storyteller. My father was a great storyteller.
Okay.
So I carry that legacy. I carry the Moshesh legacy every time I'm working. So I channel my father.
That's
Sorry,
fantastic.
Mom, I don't mean to always not include my, but my father was my first
She's
love.
At home listening going, ah, again.
Well, they've both passed on.
But, you know, that incredible connection with your lineage.
Yeah.
That's power. And having the ability to have had the interaction, but then to carry that with you is so stunning. That's so lovely. Lebo, yourself?
Yeah, that I relate so much to that. You know, growing up, I moved around a lot, a crazy amount of times. And when I was very young, I was 6 and my brother was 5 and he passed away. And I remember shortly after him passing away, and we'd perform all the time in the living room, you know, and he would say, oh, I want to be a singer. And I would say, oh, I want to be a dancer. So performing was always there. But I remember after he passed away, I moved schools and I had a very difficult time at school and was sort of constantly in fights. And I remember my teacher just going, oh, you should just go do drama, just do drama. And then I started, I remember coming into drama and I found a channel. I found a channel for my anger. I found a channel for my grief. I found in a space where that was celebrated in a way, you know, where it was allowed, you were allowed to be the fullness of anger, the fullness of grief, the fullness of joy as well, and not feel guilty for the joy that you may have. And as a child, I didn't have the language for all of those feelings, but I could relate to the stories that I was telling. And so as an adult and as I've grown up, I realized that me being an artist is also me healing that child, is me giving that child permission to live a full life, and also connecting with my brother and saying, you also wanted to be an artist, and I'm doing this for the both of us.
Guys, you're bringing angels into the studio.
Yeah.
Everyone's present. Everyone's guarded and followed and loved.
Yeah.
I love what you say about, you know, maybe culturally or for whatever reason, not being able to have the language for grief or the space for grief or anger. And performance really is the ultimate play. That's why we send kids to play therapy, right? So you get to actually embody the thing, feel the thing, movement, speak out, shout low, you know, all of that. And lots of kids come to me these days and say, how do I get on radio?
Yeah.
And I was the theater kid at school, okay? Performance, theater, drama, that was it. I played no sport. Mm. That's what I did.
Not even sprinting, not even 100 meters.
I didn't catch a ball, I didn't jump, I didn't roll. But I had a roll at the end of the year every year. And then I studied music, and it was all of that. And so when children come to me and say, how did you get on radio? That's what I say. I say, join the drama club at school. You know, debating or public speaking. And they look at me and they say, there is no drama at school.
There is
no space at school. And so I often worry about what's our next gen going to have to do to be able to have these things that for some of us were available.
I think that's a really interesting, sorry if I can like jump on this.
Yes, go
ahead.
That's
a really interesting question, because ultimately where I, after moving around some more, ultimately where I matriculated from didn't have a drama class. So this is where I was from like grade 9 until matric. We didn't even have it as an extracurricular. We had Toastmasters only 1 year, and that was when I was in grade 11, but otherwise no public speaking, no debating. We had only one evening a year that was the cultural evening where we did a one-act play, and I best believe I was in that play every single year.
Of course.
But we didn't have that resource, and this is a former Model C school that I matriculated from. And I remember having to go outside of school to like Pretoria Youth Theatre and trying to find lessons, and I put together like a PowerPoint presentation for my parents to say, please, I know this is extra money that we have to pay, but I really want to do this. And I always think about people, young people, whose parents can't spare an extra 500, you know, a month to do drama, to do extra classes. And I know, and we're losing that talent because they don't see a way forward. And it's really heartbreaking, because I know I was in a very privileged position to be able to ask that. But it's just about us really understanding that investing in the arts, whether that is acting, drama, music, fine art, sculpture, is equipping the future children of South Africa with skills that they can use moving forward, that this isn't just for a select few people. You can become a technician, a sound tech, a lighting. There's so many jobs available in this industry, but we need our government to also to commit to investing in our arts, culture, and sports department. Mm.
Daddy?
Community theatres.
Yeah.
We need to also encourage community theatres because drama really is therapy. Mm. A good friend of mine, Mabatu Mukhomotsi, is a qualified drama therapist. I think, actually, I could be wrong, but she's the first black drama therapist in this country.
Amazing.
From WITS. So if we can revive community theatres, use your school, right? Use your school after hours as a form of let's create our own stories. That's one of my passions. It's going back to the communities, and in fact, my best friend and I, Harriet Manamela, that's exactly what we're going to be doing moving forward, is going to communities and speaking to communities and starting mini drama festivals, if we can do that.
Yes.
Because if they're not going to be able to come to the towns, let the townies go to the village. And that's exactly what we'll be doing. But also, I think I'd like to appeal to business. For every stadium that was built during the World Cup that has become disused, can we then, as a community, let's not always wait for the government to do it for us, but now can you imagine if we do like a national cleaning stadium day where the whole country, with our gloves on, with black plastic bags, we go and take out all the weeds and we recreate our stadiums. Because growing up, we had inter-schools competitions. I was a sprinter. I don't know what happened, but I used to be a sprinter, 18-meter sprinter. I was
fast.
I was super, super fast.
I love
and
that.
So if we can do that, if we can make it a concerted community project to clean up our parks and ensure that our parks are not taken over by Nyaopi boys. Because now the parks are there for the kids to be able to play after school instead of being on their cell phones, instead of then drinking.
Yes.
Because our kids are drinking now.
Yes.
Instead of, because we played a lot. So I'm appealing to businesses. Can we look at our stadiums and revive our stadiums, revive our community theatres, and?
That is so important. The third space. So school, home, space one and two. But where is that third space for recreation, for relaxation? And it is true. It's up to us collectively to start rebuilding that, creating that once again. That's vitally important. All right, let's get back to the business at hand. Savage Beauty, Netflix, tomorrow, 28th June. And everybody's excited. I want to know, you know, the character development. And maybe it's different for both of you, Ntate, because your character, Grace, is moving into a different position in this season. But talk to us about what we can expect in terms of your challenges, your growth opportunities. Charlie, tell us about her.
Well, Ntati can go first if she'd like.
Oh, okay. I had hoped you could, but it's fine. Ntati, Grace, you can go first.
Grace, end of season one, is a woman very conflicted. Because like I mentioned before, this is a woman who has dealt with her philandering husband and the challenges thereof. And then she's moving into her power in second season. Is now, this is Grace saying, enough is enough. This is who I am. I'm claiming my space. I'm claiming my empire. And I will not allow your weaknesses to destroy what I have worked all my life on. And that's exactly, it's Grace taking and reclaiming her power. Not that she was ever like a dormant character, or she took things on the chin. No, this is Grace now saying, Don Bengu, enough is enough. I will rebuild this empire. Because now, if left to the men, there'll be no world left, right? And that's just the feminist in me talking now.
You know, it's so interesting. After I reached my age milestone in January, as soon as I interact with people like yourself who have always admired, I tell them, I turned 40.
Yes.
Okay, and then we have the conversation and, you know, there is a moment where you reclaim your power. I wonder if you can tell us a bit about that in your personal life, akin to what Grace is experiencing, but in your own context.
I did it actually at 40 as well. Mm. There's something about turning 40 where you're no longer concerned about what people are thinking. In Grace's world, however, she's all about appearances. She's all about perception. So she will do whatever it takes to make sure and ensure that the reputation of the Bengu family is kept intact.
Because that's her highest value.
Because that's her highest value. Ntati, on the other hand, I turned 40. I've always been a crowd pleaser. And then I thought, who am I pleasing? Really, at the end of it, who am I really pleasing? Mm. It's time to look out for me. It's time to be selfish in the positive light. But I started thinking, how about I start looking after Ntati more than I cannot rescue the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I can only work on me, because if I present the better version of Ntati to the world, who knows what the repercussions of that will be.
Sure.
And I turned 55 in August and I'm looking forward to it and I'm claiming that.
Amazing.
Yes, yes. And I'll celebrate.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I will celebrate.
Most definitely. The young people say, drop your skin routine. Please, we want details on the skin routine so we can follow suit. That's a really beautiful response, Ntati. Similar to you, Lebo, about your character's development, what challenges, what growth, what are we expecting from Charlie over the season?
Yeah, I mean, when we first meet her, she's, I guess, a kind of typical girl next door character, or at least she appears that way, because a savage beauty, nothing is ever really as it seems in the world that we've created. And so it's just a really wonderful to see this character grow through the season and her in her quest for justice, because so much of this world, people are trying to get back what they believe is rightfully theirs. And it's just really beautiful to play someone who is on this quest, and someone who is also very emotionally vulnerable, even though she's masking that to the world. And so the difficulty as an actor is finding the line of, okay, when can I let the audience in? When do they see the cracks of not all is as it seems? How do I play that in a real way as well, without necessarily overplaying my hands? So that was a real challenge, keeping it rooted in the truth of the grief that this character is going through, and of the love that this character has for Pila, that Charlie has for Pila. That was really exciting, and also very scary to do, just having people come on this journey with this character and see where the turning point is, when the mask starts to slip, when she no longer is playing ball and she's actively really going after the thing she most wants in the world, which is justice. So that was really interesting and really difficult. And I think for me, as the similarities or the thing rather that Charlie has given me permission to do, because she is a very strong character. She's a character who doesn't really apologize for anything. And I think as a young woman, as a young Black woman, we're often making ourselves small and apologizing. And even that, I just laughed at that. And I was like, huh, why did I just do that? I just totally softened the message. But it's true. I know in my life that there are instances when I've cushioned what I really wanted to say, or I've already apologized for something before I've even done something, you know, constantly worrying about will someone else give me permission to do the thing I really want to do? And Charlie is just not that character. She's just not that. She's just, I'm going to do it now and apologize later if necessary. And it was just incredible because I feel like in my life, she's taught me to be braver.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Well, listen, I think getting to know the two of you and having an understanding of how you relate to your characters almost endears us a little bit more to the program. For those who haven't watched, do we have to go and catch up on season one to understand what's happening on season two?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so we'll do that tonight. Bags under the eyes tonight. And then tomorrow, season two of the very popular Netflix series, Savage Beauty, makes its return. And we have two of the star's lead actresses, Ntati Moshesh and Lebogang Fischer. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you for this time. And thank you to your listeners. Thank you. And this is a shout out to the delinquent. He knows exactly who he is.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.